good to have the kids in here tonight. I noticed a lot of them are coloring, and that's fine. If the adults start coloring, then I'm probably just going to sit down and figure that it's time for me to stop. A few weeks ago, Jeff did a message on the concept of God being a God of order. And we announced that we're going to have several messages throughout the year, kind of interspersed throughout the year, that flow from that topic. We're going to talk some about church order, and we're going to talk some about home order. And so tonight and next Wednesday night, Lord willing, we're going to talk on the topic of home order, or at least a part of home order, and there's so much more than what we'll cover in this, and we'll try to pick that up later. But we're going to talk about parenting. And tonight, we're also going to talk a little bit about childing. What the Scripture says to you young folks with regard to your part in the order of a home. I'm going to ask Todd if he'll just open our meeting in prayer. Thank you, Todd. You know, one of the reasons that God has established order is because He loves us and He protects us. And He has established order in creation. He has established order in society. He has established order in the church and order in our home. And all of it is a manifestation of His desire to protect what He loves. And I'd like to start tonight with an object lesson. And hopefully as we go through our message tonight, you'll get some of the connection. I brought something with me tonight, something that is very valuable to me. And some of you will probably giggle and laugh and that type of stuff, but this is my childhood collection of Hot Wheels and Matchbox cars and a few other odds and ends. And I was looking online the other night, as I do every once in a while, not a whole lot. See if I can do this without breaking everything. No, that's not going to work. Mr. Ned, can you just hold that? We won't be up here all that long, so if you can just... Okay, all right. Now, some of these cars I have had since about 1965, so that would make them what? How old, Cecil? How old? 44 years old, okay? And this one in particular is a Plymouth Barracuda. And that car is about 40 years old. Now, it's in pretty good shape for a car that's 40 years old. Hood still works. Paint's still intact. Right color, same color it was when I bought it. That car, I don't know. That car, I paid a buck for. And today, it's worth a minimum of $100 and could be several hundred, depending on who was evaluating it. Okay? There are a number up here that are similar to that in terms of value. And then there are some that really aren't worth a whole lot. And so I guess my question, maybe some of the kids can answer this. Why do you think I keep them in this case?
To keep them protected.
To keep them protected, okay? I am very, very picky about who I let mess with my cars. Now, when my kids were younger and they were growing up, I would occasionally take them out and let them play with them to a degree. There were certain cars they could play with, and there were others that they couldn't play with. And I'm missing a few pieces as a result of letting them play with them, okay? But overall, we protected them. And so I have them. Let's go ahead and shut this down, Mr. Ned. I have them hanging on my basement wall. And I even debated on whether to put a lock on this thing when it was down there. But I have them hanging there because I'm very particular about what might happen to them, who might mess with them and what condition they may end up with in. Now, I just wish that when I was that age, rather than having over time, a long time, maybe $100, I had had about $10,000. Because you can figure the return. If one of these cars went from a dollar to $100, well, you figure out what 10,000 times 100 is, and it would be a pretty nice collection. Okay. Now, I've also got in my pocket some other cars. What's the difference between what you see here, other than decals, and what you see up there?
They're all scratched up.
They're all scratched up. And these, I went into one of our little storage places and found them in Thomas's collection. And that is no slight on Thomas. Okay. I was pretty weird about those things, I guess you would say. But you know, if some of you kids were over at my house, I would have no hesitancy to let you take these and do anything you wanted to with them. You could throw them off the roof. You could take them outside and throw rocks on them. You could do about anything that you, and it just wouldn't bother me. But if you did that to these, we would get a illustration of one of our topics for next week, which is discipline. Okay? Now, the point is, there are constraints on these. They're in a case so that they can't run off, so that the wrong people can't get to them. Now, what's the point of saying that? Your parents put constraints around you, rules. How many of you, all parents, close your eyes. Close your eyes, no peeking. Come on, come on, I'm not going to do this until they're all closed. Okay, kids. Be honest with me. They're not looking. How many of you like your parents' rules? Just raise your hand. Okay, a few. How many of you at least have a few rules you don't like? Okay, put them down. They don't know who did that. Okay, parents, you can open your eyes. But what I'm telling you, young people, the rules and the guidelines that your parents give you are for your protection. You see, they love you probably more than anything else in this world. And so they tell you when you need to be in bed at night. They tell you to eat that nasty stuff on your plate that you just can't imagine why they want you to eat. They tell you to turn the TV off. They tell you to do things or not do things. And it frustrates you. And the older you get, the more frustrated you're going to be, but you need to remember something very important. If they didn't care about you, you would be like these two beat up cars. You would have no rules. You would have no guidelines. You would have no instruction. So all those things that your parents do are because they value you. They consider you to be a prized possession. Now, as we talk tonight, I hope you'll understand that that is what motivates your parents. Now, your parents are not perfect. Okay? I'm not perfect. I didn't have perfect parents. But you can rest assured if you're here tonight, your parents care about you. And they want what is best for you in life. And they actually do know a little bit more than you do about what that means. So tonight, what I would like to do is to consider God's order in the home and then talk to the kids primarily about your part in that order. Now, right up front, God established the importance of order when He created man and He created woman and He gave them roles. And those were God-given roles. And from the beginning of Scripture, we see that when man disrupts God's order in any way, good things don't flow from that. And so as we begin to talk about parenting, there are some parts of God's order that are kind of prerequisites for effectiveness or success in parenting. God has established the order of the marriage. One man, one woman for life. That's His perfect plan. He desires that the husband is to be the head of the home, the leader, the spiritual leader, the loving spiritual leader. He desires that the wife is to be His helper, coming along beside Him to cooperate with Him and to help in overseeing the home. When that order is broken, you're going to have some difficulties in proper child raising. Doesn't mean that it's not possible. There are always, God is gracious and He helps those who are living in circumstances where that order has been broken. Okay? And we're so thankful for His grace, aren't we? And so thankful for His kindness and His love. But when that order is broken, it will present challenges. There are other challenges. And I think the thing that we have to recognize as parents, and I want the kids to recognize it, is there is an intense battle going on to break down God's order. And we see it on every hand. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 2. I normally write out my entire message and I haven't done it this time, so I'm really kind of scared. 2 Timothy chapter 2. And I was looking for verse 2, but that's not right. No, it's chapter 3, verse 2. Chapter 3, verse 2. This is a prophecy about the last days here on the earth. And I want you to notice one of the characteristics. It says, "For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers." Now get the next one. "Disobedient to parents." You kids made the headline news. All right. One of the characteristics of the end times is disobedient children. Children who ignore God's order. So we have to look at that and recognize that Satan and the world is striving for that. They are striving against everything that you're fighting for. And they're using all kinds of tools. I want to read something out of a book by John MacArthur on parenting. This talks about something that some of you are familiar with. It's called the Child Bill of Rights that the United Nations presented in 1959. This started that far back. That's ancient time for most of you guys. Okay, I was actually 4 years old. Here are a few things that the United Nations Child's Bill of Rights specify. It says the real solution requires a fundamental change in the value commitment and the actions of the persons who control the public and private sector of our common life, parents. It is quoted again and it says, "We recommend that laws dealing with the rights of parents be reexamined and changed when they infringe on the rights of children." Principle 10 deals with discrimination. "The child shall be protected from practices which may foster racial, religious, or other form of discrimination." Now, this is his comment on this. This is not in this Bill of Rights. This protection, in quotes, provides that if you are a Buddhist, you have no right to teach your children Buddhism. Or if you're a Christian, you have no right to teach your child Christianity. Those are just some examples out of the Child's Bill of Rights. The world is set against what is right for our families and for our kids. And we need to understand that right up front. There's also two other things that we have to recognize from the Scripture that are at a natural conflict to what we're talking about. One of them is a very familiar verse in Isaiah chapter 53, verse 6. "All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way." And that is the crux of a lot of the issues that surface in the family. We're all self-centered. We're all selfish. And you're born that way. Your parents haven't taught you to be selfish, have they? You just kind of brought that one in on your own, the same as they did, and the same as their parents did. But here's another one. Proverbs chapter 22, verse 15. It tells us that foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child. So parents, as you go about your goal of establishing proper order, of setting protective bounds around your children, they are going to buck it. To differing degrees, they are going to push against it because it's part of what's in their heart from birth. Foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child. Now, I want to move to a passage that we're all familiar with and really drill in to what the Scripture says to you guys, you young guys. In Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 through 3. It says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and that thou mayest live long on the earth." Now, we've had some ministry recently that deals with the Ten Commandments. And you guys, you kids, made the top ten. You are specifically addressed in one of the Ten Commandments. It tells you to honor your father and mother. And I want us to think a little bit about these instructions. The first is to obey, like we saw here. Now turn, if you will, to Exodus chapter 21. And these verses are just to kind of really highlight how important this issue is. Exodus chapter 21. Verses 15 through 17. Here's what it says. "He that smiteth his father or his mother," that means if you were to happen to smack or hit your father or mother, "shall surely be put to death." Now, I'm not advocating that as the punishment. I'm just saying that's what God's Word said. Under the law, that was the penalty for that kind of rebellion against parents. Let's keep going. "He that stealeth a man and selleth him, or if he be found in his hand, shall surely be put to death. He that curseth his father or mother shall surely be put to death." Now, I remember the day when my dad would spank me. And I remember plenty of times, the minute he was out of the room, I said things, and invariably, within about 3 seconds, I'm like, "Oh no, I didn't mean it, Lord, I didn't mean it," because I was afraid the Lord might take them from me. But these are serious, this whole area of obedience to your parents is a very, very important issue. It's not trivial, it's not small, it's very important. Deuteronomy chapter 21. Verse 18. "If a man have a stubborn and rebellious son, which will not obey the voice of his father or the voice of his mother, and that when they have chastened him, will not hearken unto them, then shall his father and his mother lay hold on him, and bring him out unto the elders of his city, and unto the gate of his place. And they shall say unto the elders of the city, this our son is stubborn and rebellious. He will not obey our voice. He is a glutton and a drunkard. And all the men of his city shall stone him with stones, that he die. And thou shalt put evil away from among you. And all Israel shall hear and fear." Now, we don't read of that ever happening. May never have. I can't imagine doing that. My point is this, not whether it happened or not, but the seriousness of disobeying parents. This is not a casual issue. It's something that you need to understand. And be very thoughtful about. So obedience is when your parents are giving you specific instructions to do or not do something. And for parents, you know, if you've got many kids, they're going to obey at different levels in different ways. I remember as ours came along, Bethany being the first was a very compliant child. And I remember very early on thinking, you know, we must be doing something right. But, you know, if she saw an electrical outlet, she might head there, and all you had to do is say, no. And boy, she was away from there. And then Blaine came along. And Blaine had a different personality. And so I thought, well, that's a simple solution. No, you know, no. And she would look at you, and she would look back at that, and she would try to gauge if she could beat you to it. And so our response to her had to be different. And the same with all of our kids. So this issue of obedience is one of the first responsibilities of you kids, obeying your parents. But it said something else too. It talks about honoring. And that's one that a lot of times we don't think about quite as much. Can anybody, any of the kids, think you can give me an example of what it means to honor your parents?
Listen to them.
Okay, listen to them. What else? Be respect. Morgan, can you think of a way that you can demonstrate that? Without complaining, okay? A good example. I can remember times when I've done it, when my kids have done it, and you say, you need to go clean your room. And they obey. But it's up the stairs and throw this in the basket and that's not honoring your parents. It's obeying, but it's not honoring. Or they say something to you and you turn around. That's not honoring your parents. Or you go and you're with your friend at their house and you're saying, man, you wouldn't believe what my mom and dad do. You know, that's not honoring your parents. Or you know that your mom and dad don't want you watching a certain thing on TV. And maybe you're at a friend's house and it's okay over there. To honor your parent is to do what you know they would want you to do even when they're not watching. That's honoring. And our responsibility to honor our parents never goes away. I have a responsibility right now to honor my father. To treat him with respect. To treat him with reverence. The responsibility to obey is not the same when you're an adult. So, obey your parents and honor your parents. There's an example in Genesis 9 of a son that failed to honor his father. It's after the flood, and Noah and his three sons and their wives had come off the boat. Noah had become, it says, a husbandman. He was taking care of a vineyard. And we don't know how much Noah knew. He didn't have a lot of the instructions we have today. But it says that as a result, he drank the wine from his vineyard and he got drunk. And, you know, there's no instruction at that point in the Scripture about drunkenness or drinking wine. It could have been a misunderstanding. After the flood, maybe the wine fermented differently than it did before. I don't know, but I don't think we can be too harsh on Noah. Says he was in his tent uncovered. Okay? Well, that means he was in there without his clothes on. All right? So again, he was in his own private tent. Can't say he was doing anything wrong. And one of his sons comes walking in and he sees him. There's nothing wrong. It wasn't his fault. It was a mistake. It was an accident. But then what happened next is where the problem arose. The Bible simply says he went and got his two brothers and brought them. Okay? Now, it doesn't tell us exactly how that went about, but I got a feeling it was something like, hey, guys, Come and see the old man. He's in here naked. And Noah woke up and realized what had been done and pronounced a curse that went with his son, with Ham's son, and all the way down through their generations. Dishonoring his father is a serious thing, kids. So those are two instructions to you. Obey your parents and honor your parents. But then there's one more that I want you to think about tonight, and that's to listen to their instruction. In the book of Proverbs, the whole first eight chapters or so, it's almost a continual theme. It starts at chapter 1, verse 8. And it says, "My son, hear the instruction of thy father, and forsake not the law of thy mother." Hear their instruction. Look at your parents if they're here right now. Just look at them. You're looking at folks that have made a lot of mistakes. And they can teach you a lot about how not to make the same mistakes they've made. And so the instructions that they're giving you are trying to help you not repeat the same mistakes that they made and not to experience many of the same hurts that they have already experienced. Don't get frustrated with your parents when they're trying to give you instruction. But listen to them. Time and time again in the book of Proverbs, it challenges you to listen to the instructions. Look at chapter 2, verse 1. "My son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thy heart unto understanding." Receive instruction. Look at chapter 3, verse 1. "My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments." Look at verse 1 of chapter 4. "Hear ye children, the instruction of a father, and attend to no understanding." Chapter 5. "My son, attend unto my wisdom, and bow thine ear to my understanding." You see, we all have that tendency within us that we talked about out of Isaiah 53. We've turned everyone to our own way. We just don't like somebody else giving us instruction, especially when it's our parents. We don't like it. But it is the right thing to do. Your parents have a wealth of knowledge and experience and a sincere desire to share it with you and to help you avoid the mistakes that they made. So what are you to do? You're to obey. How often? All the time. You must have a good son. All the time. You're to honor your mom and your dad. Treat them with respect. You're to listen to their instructions. And next week, we're going to turn the table a little bit. And we're going to talk to the parents. And we're going to talk a little bit about what your responsibilities are. Specifically, you have a responsibility to provide for your family. You have a responsibility to instruct. You have a responsibility to train up or bring up. You have a responsibility to not provoke to anger. You have a responsibility to discipline. All of that is under the umbrella of your responsibility to love your children. So we're going to talk about those things next time.